Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
After an exhilarating, amazing, successful summer, the USMNT are ready for World Cup qualifiers, and the roster is out. Greg Berhalter is ready. So is Jimmy Conrad. Gigo Lasso, USMNT World Cup qualifiers roster begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gigo Lasso. Thank you for watching on YouTube. If you're listening on your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your pods, thank you so much. By the way, hopefully later on, we'll have Dre Cordero to join us, our amazing play-by-play lead for CBS and Paramount Plus. But Jimmy Conrad, USMNT, roster is out. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I got dressed up for the occasion. This is big news. We didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2018. We actually haven't played in a World Cup game since 2014. So this was a big occasion as these guys start their adventure of qualifying for 2022. Three games in 7 to 10 days is no joke. And so Greg Berhalter called in 26. You can travel with as many players as you want, but only 23 can ultimately make that final roster for each particular game. But I think this is a good group. It's a nice mesh, I would say, of what we saw in the Nations League and what we saw in the Gold Cup.
Well, and listen, I'm so happy Jimmy Conrad is here, aside from being a good friend and a good colleague, former USMNT star himself, a World Cup, of course, Copa America, of course, just a tremendous, tremendous resume, Jimmy Conrad. So your opinion is always worthy. But here, it's like, you better listen to Jimmy Conrad. Heath Pierce's ears are getting all red and stuff, by the way. And by the way, everybody, as we look ahead to the World Cup qualifiers for the USMNT, and of course, as well, CONCACAF Mexico will be part of that conversation as well, and others, of course, Jimmy and Heath will be previewing and recapping the matches for Que Golazo as I cry over Peru on the other side in South America. So this is all about the USMNT. So Jimmy, straight away, before we get into the roster and just some thoughts on what's going on, and hopefully Dre will join us later, etc. As a former player, what does it, you know, when you see a three-match window, it's a lot, Jimmy Conrad. What do you make of it?
Well, they're trying to condense a usual 18-month schedule into 7 months due to the pandemic and everything else. So they're playing catch-up in a lot of different ways. Because every team is subjected to the same thing, there's no clear advantages, I would say, with regard to how this is going. But it's not ideal, and it's a lot, especially for the players that have to fly over from Europe to prepare quickly, to get acclimated quickly to the time zone, the climate, whatever it may be. And the climate, I'll say, is a little bit different in Europe than it is down in El Salvador or in Honduras in San Pedro Sula, where they're going to be playing two of these next three games. They have a home game against Canada, so we'll see how they do. Canada does have our number. I feel like they're going to try to go toe-to-toe with us. And when they get Jonathan David and Alfonso Davies and all their top guys back, that's going to be a tough test for us. So this is going to be an interesting first three games. And that first one away to El Salvador, against a team who hasn't been in this spot in this last phase of qualifying for quite some time, is going to be difficult. I really do believe that. The last time we played them in a World Cup qualifier down there in San Salvador was 2009. We were down 2-0, and we needed Josie Altidore and Frankie Hadick. Yes, shout out to the old school Frankie Hadick scoring late to make it 2-2. And that was with a team that, like on ours, that was super talented and super experienced, right? We had Bocanegra out there, Pablo Mastrion, and we had some guys that have been around and been in the trenches. This particular group only has six players that have played in World Cup qualifying before. So I wonder what's going to happen, because I'm going to use that famous Mike Tyson quote, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And when you look at El Salvador, they know they have to punch us in the face. They have to make us feel uncomfortable. And not only will the team do it with like chippy fouls or doing whatever they have to do to get under our skin, so will their fans before the game. They'll try to call your room. They'll play music outside of your hotel. They'll do whatever they can to throw you off. That's just part of the gamesmanship. I, in particular, loved it. I love that it mattered that much, that these games mattered that much to people. And so I always like raised my concentration and focus because I just enjoyed the process in a lot of different ways. But for other players, especially if they're new, it can be quite intimidating. So getting off to a good start is important. And I'll actually reference Brentford versus Arsenal. When Brentford scored against Arsenal to start the Premier League this season, them scoring first changed it. If we give El Salvador that first goal, then El Salvador is going to think they have a chance to get a result against us. And that's not where we want to be. If we want to quiet all the haters in El Salvador right away, we need to score first. So that's kind of my overall thoughts with regard to the schedule and obviously leading into the first game.
Absolutely. By the way, Dre Cordero is ready to join us. So anytime he's ready, Dre Cordero.
Love it.
No drum this time, Jimmy Conrad.
Sorry, Dre. I'll do it right this time. Dre Cordero.
Yeah, and energy's not there. I'm feeling it, and I appreciate it. It's just not the same.
I can get my megaphone, my vuvuzela. What do we want?
You don't need anything. You got Jimmy Conrad and me here praising Dre Cordero, a lead play-by-play announcer, by the way, for CBS and Paramount Plus. He was part of the Nations League, amazing tournament where the USMNT won, as well as Serie A as well, and he is getting ready. So, Dre, first of all, welcome, my friend, your debut for Que Golazo Pod. How are you?
Yo, Dre!
I'm brilliant now that Jimmy's brought out the bullhorn. You guys are two of my favorite in the industry. Jimmy, we missed you in Denver. We made our little morning ritual of you know, getting breakfast at the local diner before going and eating up Honduras and Mexico in the semifinals and final. We needed you there. Hopefully next time when the World Cup qualifiers kick off.
That's right.
I'm excited to be there. At some point it'll happen, though. But it's great to see you, my friend. I know that we shared some time over at BN Sports, so I'm glad you came over to join this team, because this team is awesome. Welcome to the squad.
Baby, it's a great team, and Dre Cordero is a main part of it. So, Dre, listen, before we get going into the actual roster, I wanted some initial thoughts from Jimmy, especially because now we're entering a three-match window as the USMNT, after a really good accelerating summer, get ready for World Cup qualifiers. What are your initial thoughts as they get ready for this three-headed monster in this window to play catch-up, as Jimmy was saying?
Yeah, my thoughts, right? I thought you said you wanted Jimmy's thoughts. I think...
Right, listen, I get enough thoughts of Jimmy. I want your thoughts right now.
I can't imagine. He's so soft-spoken most of the time.
I am.
You know, things could not have gone better. You talked about the Nations League and how well things went in the summer. You consider how badly everything went ahead of the final stages of 2018. I think Berhalter could not have asked for a better situation where two different national team setups, don't necessarily dominate, because I wouldn't call what the U.S. did at the Gold Cup dominate, but find ways to win with players who aren't necessarily, you know, your go-to guys for the starting lineup when the games start to really matter in terms of Qatar 2022. And so to play as well as they did against Mexico in that final, where we actually saw this team of individuals who had won plenty collectively at big European clubs come together and win one first collective triumph, and that sort of team building exercise that Jimmy will be very, very familiar with, then swap out almost the entirety of the roster or all of the starters and still have that kind of success. Berhalter tried out 37 different players, and we could look at the 26 that did make the roster and still pick out maybe three or four who were disappointed aren't there. That's not to say that the guys that are there don't deserve it. Quite the opposite. It just tells you how good this player pool is. And it's not just the promise of being good. It's the actual winning that they did this summer that really propels them into these qualifiers.
Yeah, I agree with Dre. I think you make a good point with regard to maybe the two versions of this team. The Nations League team, obviously our biggest guns, quote-unquote, our most talented team. And I like that we found a way to win that one. We didn't play particularly well in the final against Mexico in the Nations League. We went down 3 minutes in, 1-0. We found a way to get a result. And mainly against Mexico, we do it through set pieces. And then when we play them in the Gold Cup final, yes, and even out throughout the Gold Cup, I don't think there were a lot of games where it looked like we were the out-and-out, like, strongest team. But to your point, we found a way to win. And I like that there's a straight line between these two squads, is that they share that commonality of we know how to fight, we know how to cope with adversity, and we can still get results. That's going to be really important when you're going down. You have to grind out a result in San Salvador or San Pedro Sula and these really difficult places to play where the field's all wavy and the grass is all spongy, and they try to do everything they possibly can to make it as uncomfortable as possible. So with regard to the players that I think you're mentioning, Reggie Cannon and Shaq Moore jump out at me as like our two right fullbacks, outside backs that aren't there. Now we have Destin there. We have DeAndre Yedlin, but those guys I feel like are better as wingbacks. So it looks like to me that we're going to have a back three, three center backs. We have six center backs that got called in. And yep. I think that's going to really shape our formation moving forward throughout this whole week of three games in 7 days.
Yeah, I want to get into this roster straight away. Sorry, Drake, because you're good. You don't worry. You're going to get your chance here because I really want to get into this roster. Right. I know that everybody's waiting. By the way, Pulisic, Reyna, McKenney, they're all headline. Pulisic obviously still recuperating from COVID, et cetera. But it's a very intriguing squad, this squad. 10 players are on clubs that have qualified for the Champions League group stage, but now that's moved to, you know, we got 13 in total playing in the Champions League. One notable call-up, of course, is FC Dallas, Ricardo Pepi. This is a tremendous story that we will get to in a second. There's so much diversity, both from Europe, MLS-based, Brendan Aaronson, a favorite of the show. Of course, we talked about Josh Sargent as well, who scored a few goals for Norwich City in the Carabao Cup. Drake Cordero, when we're looking at this roster, anything else that speaks out to you? Miles Robinson, of course, doing so well in the Gold Cup. Yeah. What do you think?
Honestly, we could probably do a show on each one of these players because it's been sort of that kind of summer. But one guy who you will not hear mentioned a ton from now until that September 2nd kickoff in San Salvador, maybe because it's such a given, is Tyler Adams. Remember, Tyler Adams was not healthy for the Nations League, only, you know, featured at the very end of that. So we didn't really get a chance to see him with this group. He didn't feature at all, obviously, in the Gold Cup. He wasn't part of that squad. And I think that's a player who's really a rock to this team in the midfield. You're talking about a midfield now with Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams in it, whether they decide to play with three at the back and four across the middle, or if it's five defenders, those two guys could get it done in the middle. I don't think it's almost, he's been so out of sight and out of mind with Tyler Adams that we haven't realized what a big return that is to get him back for World Cup qualifying. George Bello is one that I think could get some minutes on this team. We will probably classify him as a surprise because he was one of those guys on the bubble, but he did well enough at the Gold Cup. He's been such a good professional in his short time at Atlanta. He's held up as Atlanta United sort of, you know, golden child for the academy, that pathway to professionalism. He's a player who, if we do play with wingbacks, could cause some real trouble. I'm trying to get at the guys that aren't, you know, Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic, who I think we will see not just perform, but potentially make a good impact on this U.S. national team.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in and concur with those sentiments. I like that a lot. What I do believe is that Kellen Acosta went from being a player prior to the Nations League, before both tournaments this summer, like, oh, Greg Berhalter is calling in Kellen Acosta again. And then after these two tournaments, everybody's like, yeah, Kellen Acosta's got to be in the starting lineup. And I love that he's changed the perception of his value to the team. And I almost think it's been so valuable, his performances, that you partner him in the middle of midfield with Tyler Adams. And in some ways, you have that double pivot. You let Weston McKennie kind of sit in front of them, and he can kind of roam. I think Weston McKennie does best when he roams and tries to find those numerical advantages in and around. Does he go wide to maybe create a little 2v1 with Christian Pulisic? Does he go to the other side and do Gio Reyna? Does he go up higher and support whoever the striker is going to end up being? Or can he drop off and do a little bit of the dirty work on the defensive side of the ball? We might not even need him with that double pivot of Adams and Acosta. And when I look at Adams and Acosta, and then obviously this isn't like for like, but they're there. And another team that does this to great effect is Bayern Munich with Goretzka and Kimmich. Two players that can sit, but also can get forward and join the attack and also make those telling passes. Tyler Adams and Kellen Acosta can be a little bit of that connective tissue from the defense to the attack. But if you had a back three, a three solid center backs, and those two in front, we're going to be very difficult to break down. And I like that a lot. I think we're going to see the three center backs for sure. And then with regard to up top, just to talk about Ricardo Pepi, I mean, we talked about George Bello being a homegrown. Ricardo Pepi grew up in El Paso, played for an FC Dallas affiliate club when he was a kid, worked his way all the way to the first team for FC Dallas, became the youngest ever to score a hat trick in MLS history when he did it earlier this season. And now he just scored the winning penalty in the All-Star game against Liga MX All-Stars. I mean, everything's trending in the right direction. And I think that some of the bait to get him to potentially join us, because he was deciding between us and Mexico, was, hey, we're going to include you in the World Cup qualifiers. And now we see him in here. I'm very excited about his future. We haven't even got close to his ceiling. And I think he's going to be a very special and exciting player. He's going to get minutes. Three games in 7 days is no joke. Ricardo Pepi's going to come in at some point. Hopefully he can make the most of those minutes and start to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, no, well said. Just one quick thing about Pepi, by the way, and I did say it on Twitter, is that, you know, he's a perfect example of what happens when, you know, a Mexican-American or somebody that has a dual identity is being supported, nurtured, and in the end, no matter where he chooses, he does what he wants because he's supported. And there's millions of Mexican-Americans from youth academies, whatever, watching that and thinking, you know what? U.S. soccer supports me and supports the decision wherever I take it. And Pepe at this young age, I think, is a great thing. And the fact that he comes from El Paso to me is really, really great to see. All right, let me ask you, Dre. Yep. Anybody in this roster, is there anybody that you think deserved to be here and is not?
Yeah, there's probably Yunus Musa, who's limited by a little bit of an injury. He hasn't played yet for the U.S. In terms of like official competition, right? Because he wasn't used much in the Nations League at all, if I remember. Wasn't on the Gold Cup squad. Has been nurturing a little bit of an injury that forced him to not have a regular preseason with Valencia. So he's a player that would stand out to me. I would echo the sentiment that we're probably going to see a back three by the exclusion of Reggie Cannon, right? Because if Cannon was there, then you imagine Cannon maybe starts on that right-hand side and Sergiño Dest would man that left wing at left wing back. The absence of Cannon and the fact that they have two right backs and two left backs on the squad suggests to me that it's going to be Sergiño Dest on the right and probably Anthony Robinson on the left. And so I think Cannon's absence tells you something about how Berhalter is probably going to approach these next three games. And then Matthew Hoppe is a guy who everybody wanted to see, who drew the comparisons to Clint Dempsey because of his attitude. And I think this is a direct quote from Twitter. He tries things, right? Like Matthew Hoppe is the kind of player who tries things, and it's exciting to watch. Those things don't always come off, but brings a little bit of a different element. To me, that center forward and to a lesser extent, the winger spots were going to be the most interesting in terms of who Berhalter left out. And Hoppe, who I thought a lot of us probably would have penciled in to the final roster based on a sort of breakout performance at the Gold Cup, misses out here. I think we'd written off Theryl Dike at least for these World Cup qualifiers. Not to say that, you know, he's still a young player with a lot of football ahead of him. He can work his way back.
He's hurt, though. He's been hurt with the shoulder injury and tendonitis. Right. So just to throw that in there. Go ahead. Keep going.
100%. Yeah. And he did not look like his usual self during the course of the Gold Cup. And so I think Hoppe, Cannon, and Musa would be the three. I wouldn't call them snubs, but the three ones that jump out at me as not making this 26.
Chime in, Jim.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just trying to think of anybody else that maybe got the snub with Theryl Dike being hurt and Yunus Musa still coming back from an injury. And even if he's back and practicing, he probably doesn't have those minutes. So I can see why he probably got left off. Matthew Hoppe is a bit interesting, but maybe his situation and trying to figure out how he's going to get out of Schalke is playing into this. Sammy Vines, I thought, did pretty well in the Gold Cup as well at the left back spot. But he got George Bello got picked over him, but he's also making a move over to Europe and trying to get through that process. So it's interesting, but I like this squad. And to Dre's point, it's going to be interesting to see which collection of players that Berhalter elects to play and who he likes to start. I mean, I think the obvious choice is Sargent up top with Reyna and Pulisic. But I do believe that Brendan Aaronson, based on what I've been seeing, especially early on in the season with RB Salzburg scoring two very important goals to get them into the Champions League group stage, is starting to close the gap a little bit. And starting to prove that he can be somebody you can trust. Right now, he feels like he's got that super sub potential. But at some point, as he starts to grow and mature and evolve, he's going to be a guy that we're going to rely on. I think that he's going to be pushing Pulisic and Reyna for minutes here in the very near future. So I'm excited to see how these – and that's a good thing. These are first world problems to have for our national team, that we have this type of depth and a lot of different positions. But it'll be interesting. Also, from a defensive standpoint, as a former center back, I'm curious to see who he rolls out in his three center backs. I would love to see a Brooks, McKenzie, Miles Robinson, but Tim Ream is in there. He's a good passer of the ball, and he kind of plays similar to Greg Berhalter when Greg Berhalter used to play. So I think there's some
Zimmerman.
Zimmerman's in there as well.
Yeah, being back and healthy and playing a full 90 minutes for Nashville on his return. I think if I had to guess who that back three will be, I think Zimmerman with Brooks and Miles Robinson would probably be my preferred threesome. Miles Robinson has really made strides, not just with the national team this summer, but with Atlanta, where he's filled that role at Atlanta that Leandro Gonzalez Pires used to fill there. He's a player who from the back line can break through lines with his passing, whether it's long balls or keeping it on the ground. I think Miles Robinson could be a big weapon for this U.S. national team in a three center back formation.
I just wanted I got some residual bitterness because we didn't qualify for the Olympics. And we could have had Miles Robinson and George Bello a part of that qualifying team, and Atlanta would not let them go compete. I'm still bitter at Atlanta and all the drama that you're going through right now. Yeah, it's called karma, okay?
Yeah,
so
Jimmy,
next time, you let Miles Robinson and George Bello go play for their national teams at any level, all right? Okay, I'm done. Yeah, next.
Jimmy's not forgetting that one, and we're going to hear that one a lot. All right, let me play devil's advocate here, boys. Jimmy brought up a good point before you even joined, Dre. Listen, World Cup qualifiers, back again for the USMNT. We know what happened, obviously, in terms of trying to get to Russia. One of the biggest obstacles for the USMNT, I feel, as an outsider, objective view, is that, especially away from home, there was kind of I wouldn't say so much a disregard, but not understanding just the importance of making sure that you deliver away from home. So you begin World Cup qualifiers, Dre Cordero, away from home against El Salvador, a team, by the way, that does look, it's talented. I mean, they don't have all the pieces, but they did just throw a little something. And then Jimmy mentioned earlier as well, only six of these players in the squad have only been previously played in a qualifier. That could be a major factor. What do you make of that, Dre Cordero? Because do you think that's the biggest obstacle?
I think it's a very fair question. If you look at sort of the history of U.S. soccer, I think you could always sort of apply the question, is this team a little too naive, right, when it comes to World Cup qualifying, when it comes to playing against, I can't use the term here, but blank housery throughout CONCACAF. And
you can say it, right? I don't know if you can because you want to keep that cool play-by-play
report. You know, yeah. just got here. Just got housery to CBS Sports.
Absolutely fine.
Meared the housery is how we like to say
get in. All right. I think ask me when we get into the City A stuff, post September 12th, and maybe I'll be a bit more comfortable or switch up the languages like Jimmy did. So, yeah, I think it's a good question to ask whether, you know, they have that savviness, right? When you have 20 players who will be making their World Cup qualifying debuts, and El Salvador is a really fun team to start out with, right? Hugo Perez has transformed not just the roster, right? Because he's gone out and got these, you know, second and third generation Hispanic Americans from across MLS and elsewhere to join this team. They play a really good, exciting brand of football. They're proactive. They really took it to Mexico at the Gold Cup, probably deserved to win that game and came up just short. And so I think it's a very legitimate question to say, how does this crop of 20, World Cup qualifying debutants react when things don't go as planned in somewhere like San Salvador or away to Honduras? I think at home, you know, they'll be more comfortable, obviously. They've played throughout the summer, big matches, against two finals against Mexico, for example. But I don't think we have an answer until we actually see that. I think that what's different probably about this group versus teams of the past is that these guys are playing pretty significant roles on big European teams where they are dealing with, if not the same, similar kind of things where other teams are trying to knock them down a peg, right? This isn't, you know, Brian McBride at Fulham. This is, you know, with all due respect to McBride and Fulham, these are players who are on Champions League contending teams going up against, you know, teams that they're favored against and having to deal with that sort of stuff. And in that sense, what they did this summer, I really do think build this team's chemistry in a way that you can't microwave, right? You need to go through, finals against Mexico, wholesale changes to the rosters, and still have success to have that mental toughness to deal with what's ahead of them against El Salvador and Honduras away from home. But I do want to give a little bit of credit to Hugo Perez, one of the sort of great U.S. national team players that never really gets brought up, one of those real magic sort of special players that we used to have, who's gone out and done what I think a lot of people wanted U.S. soccer to do for a long time, is go find those second and third generation Hispanic American players and incorporate them into the national team. Done that to an extent. El Salvador have done that with some real success.
No, yeah. I want to concur with those sentiments from Jay about Hugo Perez. I think he doesn't get the recognition and respect that he deserves, given what he achieved during his playing career and then post-career as a coach. I just feel like, to your point, he's done a lot of the grassroots efforts, I think, to really try to identify and that talent that maybe doesn't get the looks that they deserve. So I have nothing but respect for him, and I'm very proud of his success. That said, we still have to beat him. Now I do want to say I am 100% on board with where you're going with our best players playing in Europe and at the biggest clubs and all that stuff. But I would 1,000%, maybe my bias is showing because I played with him, have Brian McBride on this squad than any other striker we have available.
I shouldn't have singled him out.
I'm glad you did, because I think that I'm a guy that only played in MLS, okay? And so there's a lot of like, oh, MLS is trash. And Clint Dempsey and I were the only two guys. Well, let me say it like this. In the 2006 World Cup, we were the two highest rated players to come back from that. It wasn't a great World Cup, but we showed well, us two. And we only had MLS experience. And so what I learned throughout that process is it doesn't matter what you did before, and it doesn't matter what you're going to do after. It's a matter of whether you're ready when the whistle blows or not. And if you're ready to cope with what's coming at you, whether it's at home, whether it's away, and that's going to prove to be the biggest difference. Ultimately, though, I agree with you, Dre. I'm not trying to raise
my level of anxiety tremendously because of the 2006 World Cup. And I was there in Gelsenkirchen against the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
When Jan Kohler's being stretched off and we're losing 3-0. So thanks for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me and Clint didn't play that one, so I'll just throw that out there. But I'm just kidding. What I'll add to this is the only other narrative that I think is interesting with this particular group of players is that I think they had a lot to prove before the summer started. And now we've come in and not necessarily completely displaced Mexico as the top team in CONCACAF, but I think we put our flag in the ground and saying, hey, we're here to challenge for this title. We're here to challenge for this throne. And we've proven it in two different competitions with two completely different teams. And now I want to see how we handle being a favorite. And we were always going to be the favorite against El Salvador, but there were times when people thinking, oh, Canada's catching up to us and they're going to be a tough test. So it's a different mentality. I think as Americans, we just love being the underdog. We love like having to fight and doing all that type of stuff. But now we get into this spot where we're starting to have to be the ones that have to be proactive. We have to go make the game. Everybody else is going to sit back. And I want to see how this group handles that being the favorites and that kind of tagline. Because I think Greg Berhalter naturally is like, we're the underdogs here. Mexico's the top dogs. And now you've done it. You've proven it. Now what's next? And now this is obviously going to be a big step for us.
He has to keep saying that. The hunger must remain in order, because this is actually, you kind of almost really, you have to forget about the summer now, because this is now where it begins in a whole new chapter. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you're listening on audio, hold with us. If you're watching on YouTube, we're right back. All right. So Qué Golazo, USMNT roster, World Cup qualifiers. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Qué Golazo. We got Jimmy Conrad, Dre Cordero in the house. We talked to USMNT. I want to finish things up here with just the overall region, because it is worth mentioning El Tri and Mexico. And as successful as the USMNT were this summer, it was disastrous for Mexico and Tata Martino's project, not only to lose the Nations League in the way that it was, a tremendous final, but also the Gold Cup. Because, yes, of course, plenty of those players were at the Olympics, but still, it was a relatively strong team, and they couldn't win at the Gold Cup. So, Dre Cordero, let me throw it to you first. How important, as much as it is for Greg Berhalter and co, because obviously they want to return to the World Cup, how important is it for Mexico now to kick things right?
Oh, it's not important. It's an obligation, right? And it always is an obligation for Mexico to win, especially in this region, to finish first, to beat the United States, to continue to dominate. And they have the player pool to do it. It's still a very, very talented Mexico team. They fielded a strong side in the final against the U.S. in Denver in that Nations League. And you could make the argument, could have won it, should have sent it into extra time, if not for the heroics by Horvath. So, it's an obligation for Mexico. They'll still feel, you know, I don't think one summer is going to change the Mexican mentality of being the sort of the hegemon of this region. I think they still expect when they line up against anybody in CONCACAF, and to be fair, a lot of teams outside of the region as well, that Mexico can play better, can outscore them, and can beat them. I think they're doing a bit of soul searching now, though, because Tata Martino is arguably the best manager in the region. He came in with all of this, all of these accolades and all of this experience. I think you go back to what he did with Paraguay, Copa America, all the way back in 2011, and he had this propensity to get the most out of teams that were okay and turn them into way more than okay. Well, Mexico are supposed to be the top dogs in the region, and they've now underperformed in back-to-back finals against the United States. And so how does that, considering that they're still going to go into it thinking they're favorites, is that in the back of their mind now if they're down 1-0 against the United States? Listen, it's a permissive World Cup qualifying process because you're going to get 3.5 teams in, and there are, you know, USA and Mexico are probably within that scope. But what I do want to touch on, though, is we talk about, for example, with Peru and the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers as being the most exciting process of World Cup qualifying in the world because, you know, it's over 3 years long, it's 10 teams. I think this is CONCACAF stumbling across an even better format. And just follow me on this journey for a second, right? Because in the span of 7 months, you have 8 teams, it's supposed to be 6, and you know, they sort of back into this better format. 8 teams in the octagonal competing for 3.5 spots in the span of 7 months. That's like if you take the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers and condense them down to half a year. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how Mexico and the U.S. and the teams that are favorites are going to react to that when they're playing, you know, 3-game windows. I think it's a big challenge for them, especially when you're expected to win and you're going to have, you know, 3 games in successive fashion, meaning you're going to have to rotate your squad a bit more. I think you can get caught out in this format easier than what was intended to be, you know, sort of a longer process with this final hexagonal.
Yeah, but I'm going to jump in.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, I just wanted to say, Dre makes some good points about Mexico. If Tata Martino is looking at this and removes all the emotion around the games and the finals, and if Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, goes and looks at it the same way, the difference really was between the two teams was set pieces. Mexico had the lead in the Nations League final with 15 minutes left, 10 minutes left, and then all of a sudden Weston McKennie scores, and we do just enough. Actually, both goals. Gio Reyna got his goal, too, off of a set piece. Set pieces, and then we got the penalty. All 3 of the goals we scored in the Nations League final, set pieces, and, of course, Horvath made that save. And then we fast forward to the Gold Cup final. Miles Robinson scores on a set piece. We can even go to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it's a set piece that ends up winning it for us, the MLS All-Stars over Liga MX All-Stars. There's something there about set pieces, and I think the margins are very fine there because in a lot of those games, I thought Mexico, maybe not so much the Gold Cup final, but definitely in the Nations League final, where I thought Mexico were the better team for a good portion of it. And then Christian Pulisic was actually pretty quiet. Now, we remember him ripping his shirt off after he scored the penalty, and he's shushing everybody, and an amazing, iconic photo and an iconic moment for sure in our national team program. But when you look at the balance of the game and you go back and watch it, Mexico were really dictating the terms there, and we got to feel fortunate that we were, you know, switched on for some set pieces. So I don't think the margins are too different between the two teams, but we did show, as we already talked about, propensity now to cope with some adversity and figure out ways to win. Those two teams for me are the top. For me, I think Canada is the surprise team, is number 3. Costa Rica still relying on an old group of players. Brian Ruiz stands out for me. Honduras is doing the same. Panama is doing the same. Those 3 teams are still in that identity crisis. We've got these older guys that we're hanging on to, but they're not the same as they used to be. And we got our younger guys that aren't really pushing those old guys out. And the U.S. was there for a little bit in some of our 2018 World Cup qualifying. We had some of the same issues where our younger guys just weren't ready and our older guys were getting a little bit too old. We're seeing that now with those teams. I think Canada is going to move up into that 3rd spot. I think John Herdsman, the manager, has done a great job with them. I thought they were very competitive in the Gold Cup. And I think that that's going to be a tough game, not only for us in this first iteration of World Cup qualifying, but for every team. And I actually think Canada is going to book that 3rd spot. And then that 4th spot's wide open between the teams I mentioned. El Salvador, maybe I'll give them an outside shot. But I just think that one of those, Costa Rica, Honduras, or Panama, will get that 4th spot.
Yeah, much context needs to be added here, by the way, as of course the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A are not allowing certain players to travel, of course. And that's a major issue for Jamaica. by the way. You know, a team that's looking to reinvent itself once again. Raul Jimenez, Hector Herrera, players like that. You know, you have to watch out to see what happens as that develops, as Europe, of course, continues to deal with the red list that they have, the respective red list in accordance to what's going on for the rest of the world. That's another thing. And by the way, FIFA reduced the ban on Mexico from multiple matches, obviously because of the homophobic chant, to just one, which is, it's kind of a joke. What do you think here? Both of you, I'll throw it to both of you. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not a surprise. We knew that on appeal they would reduce. You know, that was a good question. This actually goes back to the Nations League when they started implementing this protocol. And you know, the cynic in you immediately asks, well, like, how serious are they? Are they going to take a strong stance on this? And I think in the back of your head, you're always thinking, probably not that serious. It depends on whether or not it costs them money.
Yeah. Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a joke. I don't think it's... You want to see your governing body back up the original ban at the very least, you know, and say, hey, we believe in what you're trying to do, and we're going to back it up as it goes. Like, we'll go a little bit less. You're like, what? It's just defies logic for me, and I don't understand, you know, some of the decisions that are made by FIFA, UEFA, CONCACAF. I mean, all the governing bodies.
It happened again at the All-Star game, right? It's not as if, like, time out for good behavior. Well, not really. We saw it again. It wasn't the national team, but we saw it happen again at the MLS All-Star game.
They need to figure out a stronger way to do it. And the way to do that is to not allow fans into the game. That will get it done. But you know, money ultimately dictates a lot of decision-making. So here we are.
I think that's the best way to really conclude it, to food for thought, everybody. But the USMNT, the roster is out. The World Cup qualifiers are coming up. You can make sure that you watch it on Paramount Plus. Drake Cordero, play-by-play Serie A as well. Drake, how do you feel about that, by the way? Very quickly on Serie A. Exciting stuff, huh?
I fell in love with that league, covering it for some 6 odd years at BN Sports. It's got the best cast of characters that you'll find anywhere in world football, from the ownership to the players themselves. And all of that aside, if you just take away all the personality, strip away all the history, all of the things that make Serie A great, and you just focus on the football, on the product, on the pitch, I would argue it's the most exciting league in Europe, and has been for the better part of a decade.
Big statement, Drake Cordero. I'm not going to agree with you, but big statement right there.
You can be wrong. It's okay.
But anyway, one thing we cannot deny is the genius of Drake Cordero. I'm so happy you're part of this team, my friend. Thank you so much for being
Drake
part
Cordero.
Of it.
Drake Cordero.
Get in. Look forward to seeing you guys.
And of course, my brother in arms, Jimmy Conrad. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Great to see you, Dre and LME and everybody listening. Thank you so much.
Everybody, thank you so much. Don't forget to follow, click, like, subscribe, spread the word. We're an Apple podcast. Please leave a 5-star rating and review. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, CBS Sports, and your CBS Sports app. Have a great, great rest of your week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.